supernatural power of forgiveness. And in connection with that, we're going to start next week this series called The Bait of Satan. And I don't want anybody to miss out. Please. You see, I'm so much convinced about this message that it's no joke. The more I studied it, the more I prayed through it, the more that I'm convinced that it's a message for the church, and for individuals, for families, and I believe even for nations. I believe so much that our world is so much filled with offenses and quarrel and fightings here and there. So we don't see the hand of God. We don't see the power of God as we ought to see. We don't see. Because he came from heaven to earth to show us the way. The way. And he said, my debt he paid. That's what the Bible says, forgive and you'll be forgiven. I love the way the Bible says that when the disciples asked Jesus, Jesus show us how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven. Hello? Oh, talk to me right now. Let that be Roman Catholic right now. He didn't go to Roman. I went to Roman. Come on. Our Father. Give us this day. The power. He said, forgive us what? Our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass. This is a very powerful statement. Forgive me as I forgive someone. This is not a misquote. It is from the throne of God. The Bible says, forgive me as I forgive someone. And sometimes we take it lightly. That maybe God doesn't mean that. Lord, and that's what the Bible says. Sometimes, see, I begin to study a lot of things about human psychology and things that we have been brought up. You see, sometimes we don't take words seriously. When somebody says, I love you. Nowadays, when somebody says, I love me, you love me. I will take that. I show it. For to say I love you is so cheap. I love my chocolate. I love my car. I love my shoe. I love you, baby. I love you. It's not that. I mean, show me. Let me see. Gauta Ganama. Let me see this thing. Let me show me. And it all started when we were kids, you know. You do something, your parents said, if you do that, I'll spank you. If you do that again, I'll spank you. And the kids will go ahead and do it and no spanking. And the kids will go again and no spanking. And no spanking. And no spanking. And no spanking. And so the kid will grow up and say that, oh, I for mommy, I for daddy. I don't take his word or her word seriously because there's no spanking. Because he doesn't mean what he says or what she says. And so we grow up with that mentality. And so all our lives, sometimes you don't even believe. When somebody said, I've done it myself. Oh, tell her, let's meet for coffee. I don't really mean it. I just want to say it. It's not that I can get away from you. We all do that. But when the Bible says that forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Oh my goodness, as in the same proportion. So last week, I laid a foundation of talking about the supernatural power of forgiveness. And I said that many marriages, many churches, families are filled with conflict and offenses. The Bible says that offenses will come. Read my lips. As long as there's air in you, as long as you can drink water and eat, you'll be offended one day. And so you may say that, oh, Pastor, I don't need this message. You need it. If you're going to go through this week, I'm telling you, oh, God, listen, all of this month, and you're going to take when you get offended, I think, I bet you at the end of the month, you get about 50 opportunities for you to get offended. It is part and parcel of our lives. But the way you respond to conflict, offenses, will determine how you can go far in your future. Can I hear a big amen? Amen. It's very important that we understand this message. That is why I told you the last week that we pray a lot. We pray, we fast a lot, we give a lot, but we don't see the hand of God as we ought to see. Amen. The Bible says that if I hide iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not hear. And I'm going to prove to you this morning what I meant by that. Because I believe that the supernatural hand of God will intervene in your situation. Well, if you learn how to forgive. So last week I started by what forgiveness is not. So for you to understand a subject, you have to sometimes define it what it is not. So we said forgiveness is not conditional. Right? Forgiveness is unconditional. See, there is no attachment to it. Forgiveness is not based on a promise to never do it again. If you offer it to somebody, you know, you don't ask, oh, I'll forgive you if that is bargaining. That is not forgiveness. And then, you know, on the cross, when Jesus Christ said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. And Stephen, Father, forgive them. They didn't even beg for forgiveness. They didn't even ask for forgiveness. But then the Lord gave it anyway. Number two, forgiveness is not denying or minimizing the seriousness of the offense. Real forgiveness is not minimizing the offense. It don't say it's not a big deal. But, you know, sometimes we say it's not a big deal, but it's a big deal. Oh, no. I didn't really hurt. Come on, you guys. And sometimes we repress it. And repression always has negative consequences. Can I hear big amen? Just look here, amen. Number three, I said, forgiveness is not resuming a relationship without a change. Forgiveness is not resuming a relationship without a change. Forgiveness and reconciliation are two separate things all together. Forgiveness is not trusting. Forgiveness is instant. Trust must be built. I mean, if somebody hurts you, you forgive them immediately. But for them, for you to trust them, you have to prove it. Can I hear big amen, church? And I gave you a lot of examples. Sometimes, you know, in the marriage circumstances, somebody will be beating someone and go, please forgive me. And you come home. He keeps on doing the same thing. And if you do that, one day you're going to die. Because we don't understand the word forgiveness. Especially in our culture. So if you're forgiving, forgive. Forgive. I'll come that one. Forgive. What is forgive? If forgiving, what is again? Some call man comes in and calls you once. I bet you don't want to say, I forgive you. Now come and call me again. No. Forgiveness is by grace. Trust must be earned. Now, the reason why I spend so much time on that one, because in our culture, we don't understand what forgiveness is all about. Number four, I said forgiveness is not forgetting what happened. You've heard the phrase, forgive and forget. You can never forget it. You really cannot forget it. Forget it. You know, sometimes when they say forget it, that's why even you think about it most. It's just like dieting. You don't think about food. But I'm telling you, when I'm doing dieting, when I'm doing fast, you know, sometimes you can go all through your work, the whole day busy and not eating. But the moment you say you are fasting, by 10 o'clock, your stomach will go like... You see, love does not erase memories. Love covers multitude of sins. I will explain that later on. You were hurt, disappointed, you still remember. And I told about the story of Joseph. I'm going to dive deep later on, maybe along the way. And this series, I'm going to handle the topic anger. It's going to be very powerful. And Joseph, when the brothers came to him, after they have betrayed him, erased his memory from the mind of his father. They came to him. And Joseph said, you know, don't be afraid because you sold me. He still remembered that they sold him. So forgiveness is not forgetting. But the impact that it has on you may be minimized. Can I hear amen? Hallelujah. It is actually a demonstration of a greater grace when you are fully aware of what occurred and still choose to forgive. Amen. Number five, forgiveness is not waiting for an apology. You are waiting for the person to come and apologize before you forgive. I'm telling you, sometimes you will sit down until heaven comes. The person will not come. Even the person may be enjoying himself. In a marriage situation, sometimes maybe I have something with my wife and we have some quarrel or something, that, you know. And she is sleeping. She's a good sleeper. She can sleep very well. And meanwhile, I'm just standing. I want to. But she's sleeping and I'll be like, Jesus. I'm not bad. I'm telling the truth. That's me. That's Pastor Tom. Hallelujah. You know, I don't want to be that super spiritual, something that you don't even, your leg will not even touch. Hallelujah. And the person is sleeping and you are grinding and maybe you are waiting for her to say, I'm sorry. She will not say it. Hello, somebody. Those of you who are married, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes, you know, when your leg hits somebody, praise Jesus. The Lord sees you all. He knows all of you. Don't be like spiritual on me this morning. And I'm telling you, if you're waiting for an apology, the person may not come. Some people are going to continue in their destructive, rebellious, and foolish course without apologizing. So forget about it. Forget about it. Some people are so stubborn that and rebellious and self-righteous that they will never confess or admit that they are at fault. But you forgive them. It is for your own good. You see, I heard somebody say forgiveness is a gift that you give to yourself. Because you can't wait for the person to come and apologize before your healing starts. It's for your own good. Hallelujah. You see, there was a statistic that they made. About 90% of all people, you know, don't think that they have wronged you so that they will come and apologize. So if you are waiting for them to come and apologize, you'll never forgive them. So forgiveness is not based on an apology. If they come, fine. If they don't come, forgive them. Pray for them. Can I hear a big amen, church? Number six, forgiveness is not ceasing to feel the pain. You know, I've said it so many times. Sometimes you tear up. Sometimes you cry. Joseph was crying. I'm going to dive into the story of Joseph. And then later on, I'll go into the prodigal son. Sometimes you talk about the prodigal son and leaving the elder brother. The elder brother was so much disappointed that when he heard that the brother had come home, he would not even enter and go and enjoy because of an offense. Offense will leave you and put you away from the people of God to enjoy the blessings of God. You see, sometimes God can work with somebody who is freshly, I mean with carnal things in his life, than somebody who is self-righteous. You don't understand what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. I'll go into that later on. You know, so you feel the pain. The Bible says that Joseph will go and cry and come back and tell them that I'm your brother. Number seven, I said forgiveness is not a one-time event. You keep on forgiving. There's an event that happened in your life. There was maybe an apology given, something, and you forgive the person. And there will be a time in your life that you see something or you hear something that will trigger, you know, it will trigger the memory of the event that happened. And all of a sudden, everything starts coming up again. Then you have to forgive again. So forgiveness is not one-time event. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. So, you know, and so forgiveness is not just, you know, one time. You have to keep on forgiving and forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive. Mayo Clinic did a research on forgiveness. And let me give it to you. They said letting go of grudges and bitterness can make a way for compassion, kindness, and peace. They said forgiveness can lead to, Mayo Clinic, they said, healthier relationships, greater and spiritual and psychological well-being, less anxiety, stress, and hostility, lower blood pressure, fewer symptoms of depression, lower risk of alcohol and substance abuse. Now, Dr. Tom, how do I forgive? How can I do this? And that's what I'm going to teach this morning. And I'm going to give about 2 points because we have a lot of things to do this morning. I want Ballet to come and share something with us. But I'm going to give you 2 things over here. And the word forgive, from the Free Dictionary, it means to excuse for a fault or an offense, a pardon, to renounce anger or resentment against. Number one, how do I forgive? Number one, pray for your enemy and bless them. Hey, wonderful. My friend, it's not easy to pray for your enemies to be blessed. I don't know. I don't want to be very spiritual over here. But I'm telling you, it's difficult. You see, the Bible says that we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principality. But I'm telling you, some people are actually acting like devils. And we want them to pray for them. And I'm telling you, if you consult your flesh, forget about it. If I consult my flesh to pray for my enemies, oh my God. That's why I said feelings are good, but you cannot rely on them to make a healthy decisions. Because flesh will always go against the word of God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 to 45 says, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil, on the good, and send rain on the just and the unjust." Pray for your enemies. Wow. I want to say wow. 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 I want to pray for my enemies. But not that kind of prayer that the Lord wants me to do. Maybe I want to pray for the Lord, strike them with lightning. Yes, strike them. Let them know that you are God. That thunder from heaven. I declare by divine authority. Do you remember one time the disciples had wanted to call fire? And Jesus Christ said, "You don't know the spirit of you. You can call fire though, but don't do it." But it doesn't mean that you become a doormat for people just walk on you next time. I'm not talking about that one. The Bible says that pray for your enemy and bless them. Somebody hurts you so deeply, offended you, and according to the word of God, according to this word, he's saying pray for them. The guy jilted you. The girl disappointed you. The man left you. The woman minimized you. Your boss did this to you. And you want me to pray for him? Not to pray for him, but to pray for him to be blessed. Lord, what are you talking about? Jesus, have mercy. And sometimes I can understand that when he's so hurt that, Lord, I don't know, but I want to pray for this person. Let your blessing be upon him and her. Lord, I pray that you bless your family. Lord, I know that I'm hurt and I'm going through this, but Lord, your word says that I should do this. But Lord, I'm putting my feelings aside. And Lord, I want to obey your word. I want to pray for this person. That's the starting point. That is the starting point, my beloved. That is the starting point. That is the starting point. That is the starting point. We haven't come to the point that we grasp this, the revelation. revelation of this word. God is wiser than us, beloved. If I consult my feelings, I will never pray for my enemies. I want them to strike them. I want them to kill, to be killed early. It reminded me when the Bible says, vengeance is mine. The Lord said, let me handle it. Let me handle it. Yes, you've been mistreated. Yes, you've been spoken ill about. But instead of getting even, let me handle it. Am I talking to somebody this morning that you're going through something, that somebody has done something to you, and all your whole being wants to revenge? Don't even look at the face of the person. Oh, Pastor, we are not fine. I have nothing against him, but you know, when he is coming, he's going here. You want to see him, you pass the other way. I have nothing against him. Oh, I have nothing, you know, but you. But it's not easy. It's a practice. And as you keep on doing, somebody hurts you so much. I bet when you go down on your knees, pray for the person. You see, I've come to realize that praying for your enemies is for their own good. Because see, listen, you are the apple of God's eye. And if somebody touches the apple of God's eye, the person has put himself in a danger, in a dangerous place. And so you praying for the person, you are saying, Lord, have mercy on this person. It's good to pray for your enemies. And that brought me to the next one. This one, there's a guy in the Bible called Job. Job lost lost everything. His possessions, his children. And the only person that was there to encourage him, his wife. The wife says, Pastor Job, curse God and die. Meanwhile, this is the girl who, my goodness, they spent a good time together. They've done everything. Now, I should curse God and I should die. What about let's die together? No, you die first. You go and die. I thought the woman was going to say, let's die together, honey. I said, I will never leave you. Oh, I said that for better, for worse. Until death do us part. But now I have a second thought. You curse God and die. I'm telling you, sometimes people that you've invested your life in will look up and look at you and say, yes, look at you. Curse God and die. And you can be offended. And the greatest offense also came through Job's three friends. The first one is called Eliphaz. He said, Job, you are suffering. You are going through all this because you have sinned. And that is the mentality. Sometimes somebody may go through something in his or her life and we think that the person has done something wrong. Beloved, let me make an announcement. You don't have to be a bad person to suffer something. The Bible says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of them all. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. So don't jump into conclusion when somebody is going through a difficult time. When somebody is not getting the breakthrough, don't think that, oh, because he's not praying, because he's not fasting that much, because he's not giving that much, because this and that. You don't know because, let's keep quiet. And then the second one is, build that. He says, see, God will not reject a blameless person. Nor take the hands of evildoers. So Job, you are an evildoer. Ooh, my friends. If you have this kind of friends, I'm telling you, you don't need any enemy. And then the last one is Zophar. He said, if iniquity is in your hand, put it far away. Do not let wickedness reside in your tent. Surely, then you will lift up your face without blemish. You will be secured and you will not fear. Your life will be brighter than noonday. So Job, listen to me carefully. If there's blood in your hands, confess it to God. Falsely accused. Have you been falsely accused by somebody you trusted? I'm speaking to somebody this morning. Have you been misunderstood? Mistreated by somebody? And you get the opportunity to be offensive and hurt and harbor bitterness in your spirit and in your heart. And you want the person to come and apologize. You want the person to come and say, I'm sorry, and the person is not coming. And it's still going through that pain. And still you come to God and you're praying to God. You're praying to God. There's a passage in the scripture. I forgot what it is. It just came to me. He said, I beseech every man everywhere, praying, lifting up their hands without power, you know, without bitterness and without doubt, praying to God. And the Bible says that Job was going through something, and instead of his friends, thank you so much, instead of his friends praying for him, they accuse him of wrongdoing. But look at the turning point. Put on Job chapter 42, verse 10. Job chapter 42, verse 10. Job 42, verse 10. I want to show you something over here. Let's go fast. Job 42. Job. J-O-B. I remember one of my uncles who doesn't know. He's a doctor. He doesn't know anything about Bible. And one of my aunties asked her to open to Job. He was saying, oh, Job. He said, I don't say Job. I say Job. You are thinking Job too much. Job 42. Listen to this. And I'm reading from the Amplified Version. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job and restored his fortunes when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Of all the things that the friends did to him, the turning point is when he started praying for them. And the Lord restores Job losses. When you pray for your friends, when you pray for your enemies, there's going to be a restoration. Is somebody hearing me? Amen? I like the Amplified. He said, and the Lord turned the captivity. When you're being offended by somebody, you may be in captivity. But the moment you start praying, that thing that is holding you captive will get loose in the name of Jesus. And the Lord will restore his fortunes. And I like the word. And when he prayed for his friends, also, I like the also addition. Also, the Lord gave Job twice. Double for his trouble. When he started praying for his friends. Sometimes you need some friends that can stand behind you and say, let's go. And everybody, sometimes when people go through difficult times, we run away from them. I read something about Nelson Mandela that really touched my heart. Remember when President Clinton was going through his scandal? The world, many world leaders withdrew from him, and many evangelical leaders were determined to use his sin against him in every possible way. President Clinton asked Nelson Mandela, why is he remained so such a faithful friend during that time? To which he responded. Nelson Mandela said, my morality does not allow me to desert my friends. Beloved, let me tell you something. We all need people at the point in our lives. Be a friend. Pray for them. Sometimes they may go through something. Pray for them. I can go ahead and see how the Lord, some people pray. Stephen, at a point in the book of Acts when he was being stoned. He was being stoned. They were stoning, actually. Stoning. Actual stone. Left and right, left and right. Hit the left and right. And he said, Lord, do not put this thing to their
their charge. Can we do that? I was saying when Stephen was being stoned, that was that thing, the first time I heard Jesus Christ standing up. He had been seated at the right hand of the Father. But when Stephen was being stoned, he stood up, saluting this general to come home. When this man was praying for his enemies who were stoning him. Beloved, I pray that we get this message very well so that you can live light. You remove certain things from your spirit and your heart, and God will bless you. I'm telling you, you need the grace of God. God will lift you to the next level. God will restore you. He will give you double for your trouble. But the way that we think, the way we do things is contrary to the scripture. An eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. I will get even. You, I will kill you. Number two, that's my last point. Next week, come early. I'm going to continue. And I'll finish because we're going to go to Last Supper and this thing. Number two, after praying for them, listen. Don't go telling what they did. This is a very difficult one. Because you want your story to be heard. Everybody, you want them, you know this one. Hey, and sometimes the people that you talk to, they don't even care. Sometimes, listen to me, sometimes when you find somebody who you can, the person can be trustworthy, you can pour out your heart to the person. That is therapeutic. It helps you to recover. But people will go around and start talking. You know what happened to me? You know what happened to me? You know what he did? You know what she did? You know what my boss did? You know what my girlfriend did? You know what my boyfriend did? You know what the pastor did? You know what the leaders did? You know what the church members did? You know this and that? Blah, 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 all over the place. Anyone who truly forgives, however, does not gossip about his or her offender. Talking about how you have been wounded with the purpose of hurting your enemy's reputation or credibility is a form of punishing them. And the Bible says, leave it to my hands and I will handle it. Why do you go about talking about it now? The Bible says, love keep no records of what? Wrongs. I love the story of Joseph. The Bible says that his brothers, Joseph dreamt, he had a dream that one day all of them will come and bow before. And let me say this over here. There's nothing wrong with a gift, with a dream. But there's something wrong with Joseph because he was so young. He started talking about it. There are some times in your life, God give you a dream, keep it for an appropriate time. I didn't hear him, Because not everybody you need to share your vision with. They will kill it before your time. Hallelujah. I heard somebody said that, oh, Pastor Tom, this business idea, I got it. And I shared with my friends. And and they said they discouraged me. And later on, I find them doing the same thing. There are so many things that happen that way. Anyway, that's where they started. They said that Joseph, Joseph had a dream, and the dream landed him. Let me cut it short. It landed him in the house of Potiphar. And the Bible says, Potiphar gave everything in charge for Joseph. Listen to me carefully. Put yourself, be Joseph right now. Be Joseph right now. Be Joseph right now. You see, when they sold him, they erased the memory from the family book. They said, Joseph, we cross you out. And when I read it carefully, the last time the Holy Spirit drew my attention, can you imagine how they kept this one a secret for almost like 22 years? Never came out. I said, yeah, Lord. Wow. They kept it from their father. They had lip tight. And nobody was going to speak for Joseph. They've raised him from his memory, from their memory, from the family book. His name doesn't exist. And let me tell you something. Once, When people count you out, that's when God counts you in. Amen? Hallelujah. Oh, I say hallelujah. And the Bible says that he entered into the house of Pharaoh. But then there was another lady over there, Mrs. Potiphar. Beloved, it's not a funny story. Oh, I had a dream. I said, they sold me. I got a chance to be head over this house. And this woman would not leave me. I know him. This doctor was a nice guy. And you get a crazy woman in the house trying to just mess up with this guy. She tried so many times, Joseph would not. He said, I will not sin against my God and against my Lord. And one day, this lady literally was forcing Joseph to do it. Joseph said, I'm not going to do it. Joseph could have done this one because, number one, he was in a foreign land. Nobody knew him. His father would never heard about it. And then maybe this lady could have kept it secret. Nobody. But he said, I will not do it. And he was running away. And the lady held his cloth. And Joseph fled. And the Bible says that this lady was so embarrassed that she took it as an evidence. Joseph was running away from something. And the very thing that he was running away from was the very thing that he was accused of. And I've said it so many times. In this life, sometimes, the things that you want to do best, the things that you want to run away from, that's the very thing that people are accused of. And the Bible says that it landed him into prison. He became prison guard. He became so anointed over there. God was with him. Everywhere he goes, he becomes the head. And then the Bible says that one day the Pharaoh got a dream, and then Joseph helped this guy to interpret the dream. And then Joseph told the guy, if you go, remember me. I love that story because the Lord was telling Joseph that, Joseph, you don't have to depend on man to remember you to anybody. When my time is up, I can do it myself. Hallelujah. And so the man went out and forgot about Joseph altogether. But the time came. Long story short, Joseph came up. One day he was a prisoner, another day he was a prime minister. Overlooking of everything. And lo and behold, God orchestrated it for famine to hit his fatherland. Not motherland, fatherland. And all of them came again. Came. When they came, Joseph saw them, but they didn't see him. He was so much blessed that they couldn't see him. I'm telling you, somebody, God is going to bless you so much that they will see you with differently. Amen? And they will see you differently. You will see them, but they will not see you at all. They will not see you at all because of your heart. Because of your heart. And I could imagine all the memories coming back. Ha, 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 ha. Yeah, look at them. Look at them. Wow, they are here. Oh, my goodness. And when I read Genesis chapter 45, verse 1, put it there. Let me say something and I'm going to run up. Genesis 45, verse 1. Go there fast. Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by. And he cried out, make everyone go out from me. Listen, that phrase is very important. Make everyone go out from me. I don't want anybody to hear. I don't want the Egyptians to hear our story. I don't want them to go about telling. I don't want them to repeat it somewhere. So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brother. No one stood there. No one was there. Nobody was there. Hey, I said, I want to reveal myself to you. I want to remain here alone. Even the interpreter didn't know that Joseph can speak Hebrew. Because he was so blessed that he could speak that Egyptian language fast. But everybody, go out. Beloved, there will come a time in your life that the people who have offended you, you have an opportunity to destroy them, to character assassinate them. But I'm telling you, keep quiet. You didn't hear what I said. I said, keep quiet. Oh my God. I don't know what to tell you, but beloved, I found out when I read the scripture and I sit there over my office and begin to pray, and the Lord begin to show me. I say, oh my God, Lord, this is what you're talking about. Let everybody go out. Stay out from this thing. That brought me another point. When David was made king, the Bible says that Saul went to the house of Jesse to anoint David. The Bible says that, someone said that, I'm not going to sit down until David comes. It's one thing for us to pursue God and for God to pursue you. The Bible says the Lord was pursuing David. I'm telling you, God was pursuing. Say, I'm not going to sit down until this man comes. Beloved, when your time comes, no hell, no highway, no principality, no power can stand what God will decide to do in your life. Bible says, long story short, the Bible says that David ended up in the house of Saul because the evil spirit came to torment Saul. The Bible says David will play the harp. And then what? The evil spirit will leave. And David got a chance to kill Goliath. And that's where the whole story started. The woman started singing. Saul has killed 1,000. And David, his 10,000. And jealousy started in the heart of this king. Big king. And the Bible says that one time David was playing the harp. And then this guy held a spear and tried to pin Joseph and David against the wall. The Bible says he couldn't. He did a second time. And every smart guy would do, David fled away from the presence. I will not stay there, beloved. I will not stay. I will go. I will not be super spiritual and say that. No, I bind. No, I will leave. I will run. And so, this privilege, David ran away for his life. He was about 16 years old at that time. And for 14 years of his life, he was in caves. He was in desert. All kinds of things happened to him. And when you read the scripture carefully, There came a time, in 1 Samuel chapter 28, there came a time, the Bible says, David had a chance to kill. Let's go there, let me read it, let's show something over there. 1 Samuel chapter 26. Oh my Lord. Oh my, are you here with me, amen? Are you getting something this morning? Hallelujah. Okay, put it there, 1 Samuel chapter 26, verse 5 going. Put it there fast. And David rose and came to the place where Saul had encamped. And David saw the place where Saul lay. And Abner, the son of Ner, and the commander of his army, and Saul lay within the camp, with the people encamped all around him. Keep going, verse 6. Then David answered and said to Amalek, the Hittite, and Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, the brother of Joab, saying, will you go down with me to Saul in the camp? Is that what I'm reading? Okay. All right. Okay. Abishai said, the son of Zeruiah, okay, let's go. I will go with you. So David and Abishai came to the people by night. And there was his sleep. Saul lay sleeping within the camp with his spear stuck on the ground by his head. And Abner and the people lay around him. Keep going. And Abishai said to David, God has delivered. God has delivered your enemy to him. Before then, before that last two chapters, he got a chance to kill Saul. He didn't. He cut the tip of his claw. He cut it. He didn't kill him. And then Abishai was the commander. That guy was a bloodthirsty guy. And he came and said, David, now is the time. Let's kill him. The Bible says that God caused a deep sleep to fall on the whole camp of the Israelites, about 3,000 men plus Saul. And they came around and saw this guy sleeping. And Abishai, the commander of Amish army, said, God has delivered the enemy into your hands this day. Now therefore, please, let me strike him once. Me, I can kill this one. Not two. That's it. Right to the earth, and I would not have struck him second time. You see, this guy, he's the brother of Joab. I'm telling you, if you know this, there are some people, when you look at them like this, Just look at him twice. That's the person. He's so wicked. He's so bloodthirsty. He's a guy. He knows how where to cut. He can cut your throat. Just one time. But David said to Abishai, do not destroy him. For who can stretch out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? He had the opportunity to destroy this guy. To destroy this king. To kill him. Sometimes the opportunity comes to destroy that person. The opportunity will come to destroy that person. To cut the person into pieces. Don't. Keep going. David said, Philemon said, as the Lord lives, the Lord shall strike him. Oh, go, no. Go back. The Lord shall strike him. Or this day, his day shall come to die. Or he shall not go out to battle. He shall go to battle and perish. For me, vengeance is not mine. Vengeance is the Lord. His time will come. Don't kill him. Don't do anything to him. Don't do it. Don't go around destroying him. Keep going. And David said, furthermore, as the Lord lives. Okay, keep going. Verse. The Lord forbid that I should stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. But please, take down the spear and the jug of water that they are by his head. And let us go. Let us go. Leave it. Come on. I could see Abishai going, David, what is this spiritual thing? This guy, you are too spiritual. Do something about it. Let's go. Let's destroy. You've got the evidence. This is it. I was, oh my God. I was listening to this message and the guy was saying that there was something that he had an evidence against someone. And he prayed. The Lord said, keep it. Don't show it. Just keep it. And he did not. Within 2 weeks, something happened to the guy that only God could do that. You see, you got a chance to destroy. Leave it. Don't go about telling. Don't go about telling. Fast forward. You came to a point that Saul was killed in the battle. And all this guy, an Amalekite, came and saying that, I've killed your enemy. I've killed him. The king was just upon his spear. And he knew that was his last time. When you read 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 14 to 16, let's go there quickly. Let me show you something because I want to wrap up. I love this message of scripture because it's so powerful. Verse 14. So David said to me, How was it that you were not afraid to put forth your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? Keep going. Then David called one of the young men, saying, go near and execute him, and struck him so that he died. Listen to me carefully. The guy was going to get some points from David. So I killed your enemy. Look at David, a man of God. He is indeed a man of God's own heart. But they come and tell you, say, oh, brother, don't do that. Leave it to God. And you want me to feel like this person is my enemy. I'm not going to do that. I give it to God. That is forgiveness. Look at, and then the time came. Oh my goodness. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 9. No. First Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 1. Chapter 1 over there. Verse 17 to 20. That's what I'm going. Just 2 Samuel. I'm just getting all messed up over here. 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 17. And then David, after Saul died, David lamented with lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan, his son. Look at verse 18. And he told them to teach the children of Judah the song of the bow. Indeed, it is written in the book of Jasher, the beauty of Israel is slain. Oh my goodness. The high places, the beauty of Israel. He's talking about Saul. He's talking about the one that pursue him, that want to kill him. And he said, slain. His mighty places. How the mighty fallen. And he was crying, he was lamenting. Lord Jesus, can you cry when your enemy die? Oh my goodness. Thomas will come to the testimony. I have a testimony. I have a testimony. I have a big testimony. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. This is a different story. Different sermon, different message altogether. Look at that. Keep going. Tell it not in Gath. Don't tell. Proclaim it not in the street of Ashkelon. Lest the daughters of the Philistines will rejoice. Lest the daughters of the uncircumcised will triumph. Keep going. O bodies of Gibeah, let there be no dew nor rain upon you, nor the field of the offering. For the shield of the beauty is cast away there. The shield of Saul, not anointed with oil. Stop right there. Tell it not. Tell it not. You get a chance to tear that person up. Don't say anything. Ask God to forgive you. Ask God to help you. Pray, number one, pray for the person. Number one, don't go about telling everybody what went wrong. Destroying that person. Keep it. Let God deal with it. In fact, when you read on and on and on about 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1, David, after the death of David, Saul and Jonathan, David even said, is there anybody left in the house of Saul for Jonathan's sake so that I can show mercy to the person? And that came. Mephibosheth. The Lord blessed him. The guy who was crippled. This is the heart of David. And the Lord gave David victory upon victory upon victory upon victory upon victory. If you allow God to handle your battle for you, you'll be victorious. Beloved, if you allow God to do, I'm enjoying myself. I'm telling you, this one is going to be in a book. And I'm telling you, the Bible says, guide your heart from with all diligence. From out of it come the issues of life. Issues of life are over here. Sometimes we are so hurt and it comes out. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Sometimes you hear people talking and say, oh my God, there's a lot of issues going on there. A lot of issues. So guide your heart. Guide your heart. Guide your heart. Guide your heart. And sometimes people, let me tell you something, sometimes people, sometimes you meet with they're so angry. And it wasn't from you. It started from somewhere. Maybe from their childhood. When they were abused. When their father left them, their mother left them, and when their uncle left them, when the school teacher, I still remember to this day when my school teacher told me, and I keep on repeating this in this church, she said to me, look at you, big-headed boy. So I was growing up thinking that my head is so big, until I grew up and look at the mirror and say, you do, I'm so handsome, my head is not big. I changed that confession. But there's some things that have been said to people, things that have been done to people from their childhood. So you're not the target. And so when you marry them and you come in contact with them, oh my goodness, the things from the past start surfacing. Sometimes they don't know even why they are angry. Sometimes they don't know why they are so bitter. Sometimes they don't know why they talk like that. And you cannot fix it right there. It started from somewhere and you are being the culprit of the offend or something. Don't take it personal. Leave it to God. Vengeance is mine. He said, I will repay. In Jesus' name. This morning you are here, and as I'm talking, you know somebody who has just offended you so much. You keep talking about the person. You keep talking about the situation. You keep talking about this. You keep talking about. I'm telling you, as Job prayed for his enemies, for his friends, the Lord turned the captivity of Job around and restored him and also gained twice. The Bible says David also, Joseph also. Beloved, this message, if you contact your feelings, it will not do you good. But contact revelation, and your life will never be the same. Your life will take you, you go to the next level. I'm telling you, the things that you have been praying for and crying out, it will come to pass just like that. I'm telling you, God is willing to minister to all of us in such a powerful way. We don't see the hand of God because there's so much issues over here. The Bible says even when you come to the altar and you remember that if brother or somebody has something against you, leave it there and go and reconcile with them. You see, God is so much interested in obedience than sacrifice. I cannot come and say, hallelujah, praise God, with the goosebumps and hallelujah, I proclaim, I did this, with bitterness in my heart. It's not going to go anywhere. That's why I said last week, we pray so much, I'll receive little. But if we get rid of bitterness from our heart, offenses, that is why I'm encouraging you from next week, sign up for the bait of Satan. Don't be there. Just went through it. He dived deep into deep. And that book, about over millions of copies have sold and translated in all kinds of languages. I believe that God ministered to that guy and he put it in the video. And the first time we did that, when we were about to start this church, marriages were healed. Beloved, ask Malet. Malet was there. And it was so powerful. And I don't want to miss this chance. Because we're going to go through it for 12 weeks. We're going to study and study and study and apply them into our lives. And your life and my life will never be the same. We got a sign-up sheet over the foyer. Go and write up your names. God, the books are here. And we're going to talk to you more about it. With everybody, let everybody stand up this morning. Oh my God. Holy Spirit of God, minister to someone this morning. Remember that person who said that thing? Remember what they did to you? You are still harboring that bitterness in your heart. The Bible says offenses will come. What we do with an offense will determine our future. Sometimes, like Joseph, you forgive as you cry. It's okay. It's good to shed tears and say, Lord, I give this one to you. I will pray for this person to be blessed. I'll pray for him. I'll pray for her. Pray for my boss. Pray for my ex. Pray for whoever the person is. Jesus. Yes, Lord. This is what. Ask the Lord to change your heart this morning. I know it's that kind of message that really gets into you. Don't let your flesh speak to you. Don't let the flesh speak to you. The flesh becomes so loud. He said, you are justified. Yes, yes, you are justified. Ah, yakaba, 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 yakaba. Oh. Paula, come and help me here, please. Yes. I want you to sing that song. As I invite those people to come, if you have something in your heart, you want to say, Lord, don't tell me, I don't want to know. Say, Lord, in obedience to your word, I want to release this situation. It might be not a person, but it may be a situation that happened in your life, in your job place, whatever the person. It may be something. So, this is the Lord, I leave it here. As we go through this period of dealing with offenses and unforgiveness, I want you to come forward. Let me pray with you. I'm not going to ask you, but I'm going to pray with you. As we sing this song, just come. Pastor, let's go. God bless you.
May I be like you?
Sing it out, sing it out.
Change my heart, oh God. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever new. Make it ever new. Change my heart, oh God. Let's sing it together. Change my heart, oh God.
Jesus, Jesus,
may I be
Jesus,
like you.
Jesus.
May I be like you. Change my heart, oh God.
Change my heart, oh God.
Make I'm still waiting for you. I'm still waiting. Nobody cares about your business. Just come. You, it's between you and God. Nobody knows about it. Just come. Let me pray with you. Don't stand there. Don't consult your flesh. Just move in faith. Don't move in the spirit. And just come. Let's pray right now. In the name of Jesus.
May I be like you. You are the potter. You are the potter. You are the potter. I am the clay. I am the clay. Make me and mold me. Make me and mold me. This is what I pray. This is what I pray. You are the potter, everybody. You are the potter. And I am the clay. I am the clay. Make me and mold me. Yes. Make me and mold me. What I pray. With your hands lifted up, let's sing it to the Lord. Change my heart, oh God. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever new. Change my heart, oh God. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you.
Standing there just like I want to release for you to release anyone, just anyone. One of the series I'm going to talk about, forgiving yourself, this morning, just release it, Lord. I release it. I give it to you. I give this situation to you, oh God. It's so hurtful. It's so painful. But Lord, you take control over it, Lord. I give it to you, Lord. I give it to you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. I get the opportunity, Lord, to slay this person, to say these things, to do this. And to do. But Lord, from today onwards, I make a conscious effort, Lord. I would like you to handle it. In the name of Jesus. It may be your dad, it may be your mom, it may be your uncle, it may be your boss, your friend, your best friend, your bosom friend, it may be your ex, it may be somebody, I don't know. But with your hands lifted up, say, Lord, I give it to you all. I give it to you all. Lord, I give it to you. Lord, I give it to you. Lord, I give it. Everybody, close your eyes. And I want everybody here, if only you can lift up your hands, lift up your two hands to God in surrender unto him and say, Lord, I give it to you. Lord, I give it to you. Lord, hold my hands. Lord, hold my hands. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord. I bless your name. I bless your name.
Give myself away.
Yes, Lord.
I give myself away.
Sing it.
So you can use me.
Father, I pray for you.
Give myself away.
Touch our lives, oh God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
I give myself away.
You may be seated as we sing that song. You may be seated in the house of God. With a communion right now, before I call Marlon to come and share and take an offering, listen to me carefully. The Bible says, as we come before the Lord in this communion, I believe in the New Testament, the blood of Jesus Christ, you know, is so powerful. It's so really powerful. As we take the bread and drink of the wine, it's a New Testament. Healings and breakthroughs and whatever. I don't know what is on your heart this morning. It may be a situation that you want God to touch. Maybe you need healing. There are so many times that in a communion service, somebody just got healed, got a breakthrough, got a revelation. I don't want you to minimize. I don't want us to go through the normal thing, but ask God something. He's here literally to just go and dine with us. I want the elders, Pastor Joe and Cynthia and Uncle Julius, all the elders to come and let's go through. I want the elder's wife to come and help us too, Aunt Vida and Evelyn. Want us to wait for us as we come to the Lord's table. We all take it and then we all drink it together. The Bible says this is the blood of the new covenant. The blood that was shed. We celebrated last week Easter. And this is the first week after Easter. And we say, Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us. We give you the praise and honor. We thank you for the shed blood. We thank you for your stripes. That way. Yes. In the name of Jesus. in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you and bless you in Jesus' name. Just hold on for us. Wait for us. Begin to pray. Ask the Lord to minister to your needs. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, "For I received from the Lord that which I was delivered to you, that Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my blood, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup, and after the supper, saying, 'This is the cup in the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." When you take it, just wait for us. I'm going to pray first before we take it. But I want you to pray. Pray. Ask the Lord to bless you. I don't know what is on your heart. Ask God this morning in Jesus' name. Keep on praying. Father, we want to thank you this morning. As your church family, as we come before you to take this communion, we thank you that you are in the presence of your people. Lord, heal the brokenhearted. Restore those that need to be restored. Those that need healing, Lord, heal. Those that need direction, direct. Father, we pray that nobody will leave this house the same, but we'll be blessed in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the shed blood. We thank you for your body that was broken for us. We take it as a family. Father, help us, oh God, as we've studied these offenses and unforgiveness. If we have something against someone, even in this house, we pray for forgiveness. We ask for restoration. We give you all the glory, Lord. We thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name. Church family, let's take God and pray together. Let's take it. Amen. Father, we thank you for the new covenant, the symbolic of your blood. We take it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take the cup. Let's take them. Oh, Let's sing it now.
I will ever love and trust you in your presence daily.
Unto Jesus I surrender.
Please begin to distribute these cards to everybody right now. But don't put your offering in first. Let's hold on a minute. Everybody take an envelope. Presence in our midst this morning. We thank you. We bless you for all that you are doing, for all that you are going to do. We give you praise in advance in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Thank you so much. Thank you.